Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Our text for today is the gospel lesson from Luke chapter 18, verses 15 through 17. I will not reread it, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Parents, today you stand correct in heeding our Lord's request to let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for such belongs the kingdom of God. As 13 years ago or so, you brought your child to the church to be baptized, confessing for your child that they were going to grow up to be Christians. And so you had your little bundles of joy washed in the waters of holy baptism, where Jesus joined himself to them, not just in baptism, but to his very death and his resurrection. And today we see that bringing children to Jesus is indeed how evangelism is done and how the church lives and grows. McKenna, you can smile. There you go, that's that smile I'm used to. That total shock and awe smile. Cheyenne, yeah. Okay. Samuel, 1st and 2nd Samuel, Sam and Psalm. I don't know, we had multiple names for you, but it was Sam B and Sam G, right? You made it to confirmation day. Now your friends and family, they've gathered together, the church is full. Maybe even your baptismal sponsors have shown up if they've had the opportunity. They're all here to hear you do one thing. Confess that when you were baptized, your parents weren't lying. They're all here to hear you confess your faith in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that faith that you have been instructed in for the last 13 years. I want you to understand something very important. That while today might feel like a graduation, it absolutely isn't. You don't graduate out of the faith. You don't graduate out of hearing the Word of God, and you certainly don't graduate from studying it. Today, even though you have the robes and the flowers and the friends and the family gathered around, nothing is finished. You're simply saying that you're not coming on Wednesdays at 4 o'clock to 5:30 anymore for confirmation instruction. Although we could work that out if you'd like. That means that you can come to Bible classes on Wednesday from 6:30 to 7:30, or Thursdays in the morning when Pastor Rafa teaches in the summertime, or Sundays morning or afternoon. And I want to invite you, and with you I want to invite your parents so that they join you in growing in Christ and in understanding that you don't outgrow learning of the Christian faith. As you learned in the final question of the catechism, isn't that great? They put it at the end. What is confirmation? Shouldn't that be like near the front? Right? What is confirmation? Confirmation is that rite of the church that occurs after a period of instruction. You've had a period of instruction. I see. We've talked about every possible topic known to man in class, most of which had very little or anything to do with confirmation instruction. But we talked about it, and we dealt with it, each and every one of us with our own brand of ADD. Wait, there's a squirrel. Hold it. What? No, we didn't have any ADD in the class. Especially from the teacher. You were taught the basics of the Christian faith. You were instructed in God's Ten Commandments to show, then they show us the will of God for our lives. And then you're also taught that none of us have kept them perfectly. That shows us that we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And because of that, we deserve one thing and one thing only, which is death. The Creed teaches us, well, of the revealed nature of God and the depth of His very love for us. For in the second article of the Apostles' Creed, you learn about His only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who though He is God, willingly humbled Himself to take on the form of a man and to suffer all, even death on the cross, for you and for me, so that we who are dead in our trespasses and sins can be forgiven and have life in it eternal. You were taught the Lord's Prayer. And yes, we pray our Father, not my Father, because it's intended for us to include not just ourself and our own selfish concerns, but is intended for us to understand that God is the Father of all. And so the Lord teaches us to pray our Father, and in so doing, we have a lifetime relationship, and we learn that all good gifts come from God's hand, as He calls us His children. I don't care how old you get. And girls, if you grow past 5 feet, I don't care how tall you get. And boys, if you grow past 6 feet, it doesn't matter. Right? You're still God's children. Young and old, every last one of us. Then you were taught that in the waters of baptism, there is a New Testament covenant that is made. As our dead hearts are circumcised by the Spirit, and we die and rise anew in Christ each and every day. You're pointed to water and the Word that declares your sins forgiven. Then confession and absolution, the office of the keys. And the wonderful thing about confession is it always is followed by what? Absolution. Absolutely, absolution. And the office of the keys, they direct us to the source of our salvation as repentant sinners are absolved. And it's sad to say that the unrepentant remove themselves from God's gift of forgiveness altogether, as long as they do not repent. And finally, what seems like the last hurdle in the church, the Lord's Supper is taught. Once again, to direct the penitent to their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who comes to them in with and under the bread and the wine. I don't know how. I would love to be able to explain how. But Jesus didn't bother to tell us how. He simply said what? Take, eat, this is my body. Take, drink, this is my... I see you mouthing it. Not like class where you just jump in wherever you wanted to. Okay, I just thought that might happen in this. And so He tells us to take, eat, and take, drink, because His body and blood are given to us for the forgiveness of our sins. And where there is forgiveness of sins, you learn that there is always life and salvation. So really, confirmation is just one beggar, this guy or that guy, or your parents, telling another beggar where to go and get some bread. It's that simple. Therefore, I challenge you today. I challenge everyone in hearing this to live up to the confession that you make. Live up to the confession that you will make of your own free will today. As far as I know, there's no shotguns involved. Maybe in getting you to study, but not in getting you here today. Live up to the challenge. Because all of us who have been confirmed have struggled with that confession from time to time. Today, you are confessing faith in Jesus Christ. And that faith should be part of your life, well, until the Lord comes and takes you to eternal life. And it is no longer just an article of faith. Think about it. What benefit is there for the children of Israel for God to bring them out of Egypt, to pass them through the Red Sea, to bring them on the other side, only when Moses is up on Mount Sinai to build a calf and worship it? They had been delivered by God, and they just, well, forgot about Him. Made their own God. Something to make them feel good. And worshiping a cow is, of course, what? utterly ridiculous. Everybody knows it. The boys shook their heads and the girls bowed in shame. Pastor's going to say it again. Think about it. What benefit was to them to be delivered by God and to reject it? Or what benefit did it serve Demas? Now that'll drive you into your Bible to do a little looking. What did it serve Demas to serve as a disciple only to wander from the faith because he loved the world more than God? Let's just pause and think about it. How would it have helped King David to be a man after God's heart when he fell into sin and disgrace if Nathan the prophet had not confronted him with his sin and the word of God not brought him to repentance? And there he was restored to right relationship with God. So today is a call for all of us to repent, for we have all had the mindset of the disciples in our text today and prevented the little children from coming to Jesus. We have. We may not like to confess it. When we get older, sometimes we complain because little ones are crying in the church. Can't they send them somewhere else? Why can't they keep them quiet like my children always were? My children never did anything wrong. So far as my memory and the concussion has left me with it, reminds me. Obviously, that's not a true statement. Every child cries. But to learn to stop crying when in church, they have to be in church. Think about it. We put so many other things in front of that which, well, lasts for eternity. We have not always made being in church and Sunday school a priority for our children or for ourselves. And you children have not always honored your father and mother, making it a little easier on them in the morning to get you here. It works hand in glove. But the Spirit is willing, or you wouldn't be here today, no matter how weak the flesh is. So we give thanks to God. We have all not continued the altar of the church to extend to the altar of our homes, but instead worshiped at the altar of work and play and our favorite after the time change, of course, sleep. We have made so many things more important in our lives than God's word, and for this we must all repent. And you were taught what that is. To repent is to have sorrow over your sin. Right? And when one repents, what do they receive? Absolution. Forgiveness of your sins. The psalmist says the most amazing thing. God takes our sins and throws them as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered again. That's a pretty neat place to stand. But you see, when there's repentance, there's no room for buts. Please pay attention to that. You've heard it before when people have started to repent. You even see it with the prodigal son in the text that we read a couple of weeks ago, right? He's going to repent and then he adds his but. But make me like one of your hired hands. Right? I know it was sinful, but there should be a period, not a comma, at the end. I know it was sinful. Period. Exclamation mark if you'd like, but no commas. Because that but that follows has to be repented of. Repentance stops all buts. I know I am sinful, period. This is why Jesus calls us to receive the kingdom of God like little children. In the text, it's preface, infants. Jesus says, "Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And this is good news for you, McKenna and Cheyenne and Sam 1 and Sam 2. Just a little Dr. Seuss for fun, right? It's also good news for me and Pastor Rafa and your moms and your dads. Because apart from God-given faith, none of us could have confessed that Jesus is Lord for our salvation. Because we turn to God's Word in the simplest way possible, asking, did God say it? Then it must be true. I think that was my favorite class of all, going through the attributes of God and simply saying, God is almighty. Then we turn to the passage, God is almighty. We don't have to have a council to talk about it, do we? God is love. Why? Let's look. God is love. We don't need to squabble over whether God is love then, do we? What fun that day was as we kept having counsel after counsel, realizing over and over again that which you have been taught from little on is that which is clearly taught in the Scriptures, and we need not reason it away, discuss it away, or get a group of people to tell us what it means when it's that blunt. Right? And for that, we can be thankful. Because we simply ask that beautiful question, did God say it? And if He did, it is most certainly true. Jesus says in Matthew 28, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and to teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the very end of the age. And so you are baptized. And you are taught and will continue being taught. Jesus said, take, eat, this is my body. Take, drink, this is my blood. And we didn't need to try to figure out how. Only that we need to receive it. Because it's offered for what? For the forgiveness of our sins. Somehow, under that simple elements of bread and wine, Christ brings you, when His Word and promise is joined to it, His flesh and blood, the one sacrifice, to forgive you all your sins. And so today our text says, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it. In faith we know this means trust Jesus. Lean not on your own understanding. Believe in His words and promises spoken to you that your sins are forgiven and that forgiveness of your sins extends to your neighbors and enables you to love your neighbors as yourself despite yourselves. As Jesus gives you Himself always through His means of grace. And grace, remember as we learned it in confirmation, gifted righteousness at Christ's expense. God's grace. And it's given to you and for all. Our Lord has given all an invitation to receive His kingdom like a child. I pray you will not reject His gift, as it is the only way to eternal life. This invitation continues to be extended for you and for me. So like true children, God's children, let us be washed by the Father. Let us be fed by the Father. Let us be nourished by our ever-providing Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In His precious name. Amen. Amen. And now may the peace which passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.